Let's get into the Word. Open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We're going to look at Daniel this morning. There we go. Thanks, Paul, for jumping in there. The book of Daniel. This is part of our Bible First lifestyle reading this week. And Daniel is a powerful, powerful character in the Bible. Daniel might be, you know, I don't have any favorite, but he might be one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I like Daniel. I like David. Those two guys just inspire me for different reasons. The book of Daniel is an amazing book. It's only 12 chapters long, but it is fascinating in the depth of what it can teach us, as well as the prophetic nature of this powerful book. Let me give you some context of Daniel as we jump in here. We've read through a lot of the Old Testament, and remember, in the Old Testament, that the Hebrews are taken captive because of their disobedience to God. That there were decades and decades, and I didn't do the math on all the years, but even centuries passed where God had been patient with the people of Israel, saying, if you obey me, I'll bless you, but if you leave me, you serve idols, you worship idols, you do things that are against my law and my word, I'm going to judge you. And not a judgment to destroy them, but a discipline like a father with his children. Jeremiah prophesied about this, warning them. Isaiah did. Micah did. Many of the prophets tried to warn them, but they still resisted the word of God, and they ended up in exile in the country of Babylon. When the Babylonians came in, they wiped out Jerusalem. They wiped out the Holy Temple. What a tragic thing to have just read in our word this year, the glory of King David and the glory of Solomon's temple and the great city of God at its height. And then because of disobedience to God, that he gave them over in discipline, and these foreign marauders came and just destroyed all that they had built. Because of that, if you remember, that the people knew who the God of Israel was. So in this context, you can imagine how God's name was discredited among the foreign peoples. That they would say, well, your God isn't nearly as strong as our gods, our idols, because obviously we were able to have more stronger might than you are, and we overtook you. And so they began to celebrate the fact that Yahweh, the God of the Jews, wasn't as powerful as their own gods. While they were there, however, Daniel and his friends remained faithful to God, and God revealed his mighty power through these Israelites that were in captivity, as God used them to interpret dreams. There's just miracles that happen in the book of Daniel, not because God wanted to bless the people in any way, but to show the foreign peoples, I'm still God. Even if the nation of Israel has disobeyed and are in captivity, I'm still the one. I'm still the creator. And it's amazing to watch, as different miracles happen in Daniel, how the kings turn and say, Daniel's God really is God. He really is the one who's all powerful. And even the kings writing laws into Acts and saying, if you're going to worship any god, you're going to worship Daniel's God, the God of the Hebrews. And so God even used captivity to glorify his name and to spread his glory in foreign lands that no doubt spread throughout the world, even beyond Israel. The uniqueness of the book of Daniel. There's so many fascinating things in this book. That it was written by Daniel in Babylonian captivity. Some of the most beloved stories are in this book. We're going to talk about some of those this morning. The story of Daniel in the lion's den, of course, that we read about in Sunday school. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast into the blazing furnace. But there's not three in the fire, there's four, as the Lord God walked with them amongst the burning furnace. And then the writing on the wall, and all these really fabulous stories that we get out of this book. It's the companion book to the Revelation in Daniel's in the Old Testament, Revelation in the New Testament. There's more prophetic things going on in Daniel than any other book outside of the Revelation. Daniel's prophecies are referenced more than any other prophet in the Scriptures. And as you read it through and study it, you can find out, just how vivid those pictures are. Daniel has the most detailed and specific end time prophecies outside of the book of the Revelation. Things that are there that are even outside of our time, that are still yet to come for us today. Now some, I don't know, I'm guessing 2,500, 3,000 years after Daniel, there's still things to come that we haven't yet seen. So it's so worthy of our study. And then finally, Daniel has the most unique picture of the spirit realm and the power of persistent prayer. Daniel chapter 10 is fascinating, and chapter 9 as well. And you have this really strange picture of how spiritual warfare works. And there's that story there. It says that Daniel was praying, and he prayed for 21 days-ish. And finally, an angel of the Lord appears to Daniel, gives him just reveals himself to Daniel and says, "Hey, Daniel, sorry about this, man. When you started praying 3 weeks ago, I was trying to get here, but I got held up by what he calls the Prince of Persia. And that's a demonic stronghold entity. And there's this warfare going on that the angelic messenger is trying to get to Daniel. He's held up for a little while. And he says, but I made it here because Michael, the archangel, came, helped me out. Then I got to go back and fight this other guy, the Prince of Greece. And it's just this, what? What is going on out there? When we're praying, folks, stuff happens in the spirit realm. It does. And Daniel persisted, and because of his persistence, that the messenger was able to get through. And the message that he gave to Daniel was this vivid, prophetic message that we're still waiting to see today, but specific stuff. So it's just a really, really, really unique book. Now, Daniel himself is a unique character too. Daniel lived in captivity, as well as the rest of the Jews, and especially some of those that were of standing and of gifting and talent. They were raised up in the palaces of Babylon. But they lived in an ungodly place, in an ungodly world. But there are four things I want to bring you this morning of how they lived faithfully in an ungodly world. There were some principles that caused them to rise above, that caused them to be able to glorify God in ways that many other characters in the Bible didn't get to experience. These are not new principles. There's something about Christianity we ought to know, is that there aren't a lot of, whoa, never heard that before, type things. But there are a lot of, these are the things that will always work, but we struggle with being obedient with them. That's really where the battle is. It's not finding out something new. It's doing what we already know. And that's where I want to bring you this morning. Some of the most simple things in the Word, but to encourage you through the life of Daniel. Number one, devote yourself to prayer. If there's any description of Daniel, it's that this man was devoted to prayer. He's devoted to prayer. Martin Luther said this, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Leonard Ravenhill said this, "A praying man will stop sinning, and a sinning man will stop praying." Billy Graham said this, "To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees." You know, church, here's what we need to do. We need to stop complaining about our political system, complaining about this politician or that politician, and get on our knees and bring that stuff to our Father and God. Isaiah says, "If my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land." I wonder if we had as much prayer going on as we had complaining on social media or Instagram nonsense. We got to devote ourselves to prayer. That's where change happens. That's where the power of God is. We connect with that at a time when our nation needs healing. Our world needs healing. Our community needs healing. We are running fast away from godliness and straight into the teeth of deception and manipulation of the enemy. And there is a spiritual warfare. Read Daniel. It's clear. We must be people devoted to prayer. God is the King of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign wonder above all things. He's the future knower. He's the provider. He's the way maker. He's the redeem or the salvation giver. He's the comforter. He's the future revealer. This is our God. And he says, talk to me. Talk to me. Why don't we talk to him? I'm baffled by that. I'm baffled at it by myself. Why don't I talk to the sovereign power of the universes? He's available. He's not got to put you on his schedule. You won't have to wait to get an appointment with him. What is it about us? I laugh at myself. I go, what is your problem? The God who was always and is always and will be always is available to entertain us at all times if we will just talk to him. But yet we struggle with that discipline. We get busy and we get lazy and we all the other things that we can think about that are excuses as to why we don't pray. Thank God Daniel wasn't like that. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When confronted with either stop praying or go to the lion's den, here's what Daniel does. Daniel says, three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Those last few words are critical. What that means is that this was Daniel's regular practice. He didn't just all of a sudden kick into gear and go, oh no, they're going to throw me in the lion's den. I better pray. No, he just did what he always did. How many know that sometimes it's too late when the emergency kicks in to suddenly get close to God? But if we're close to God the whole time when the emergency happens, it's not such a big deal that we're already in position. We used to use words way back in the day, words like or phrases like being prayed up. Who remembers that phrase, being prayed up? What that means is you're praying all the time so that your spirit is already full, so when things do happen, they don't catch you off guard or throw you off kilter. You're already solid. Now, you might take a knock here and there, like the old, you know, clown punching bag that you'd punch it and go, and it'd bounce back up again. Yeah, sometimes we take some knocks and we might lose a little balance, but if you're prayed up, you're stable. You're on solid ground. We often used to use a phrase called pray through. Anybody remember that word, that phrase, pray through? What that means is that you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray until you get the answer. You pray through the struggle, through the excuse, through the barrier, and you get an answer. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is yes. But do we even pray through? Or do we say, God, here's what I need. I know you heard me, and just, you know, you got it, so see ya. I'm going to go about my life. And then we say, well, I prayed. I prayed. It's up to God now. Man, I'm thankful Daniel wasn't that kind of prayer. Daniel devoted himself to pray. In Daniel chapter 9, says this, I, Daniel, turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes is what they would do when they were mourning. He fasted and he prayed. He had to get a hold of God. And in this context, he's praying a repentance prayer for his sins and the sins of Israel. They're in captivity. And Daniel is taking an intercessory role to say, God, I'm going to stand in the gap between this rebellious people and you. And I want to build a bridge. I want to connect with you, God, because I need your touch and our nation needs your touch. Oh, that we would pray for our nation that way. God, forgive me and forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. Oh, I wonder what our country would look like if the Christian church would pray that way. Back in the early 1900s, just before the Assemblies of God was even formed, there was a group of college students in Topeka, Kansas, and they read the Bible, and they read the book of Acts, and they looked at those stories, and they said, how come we don't see this stuff happening today? If it's in the Bible, it could happen. So how do we make it happen? Pray. And they began to pray, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And you know what? God answered, because God always answers. And he came, and the spark of revival happened, and a minister came through, and he heard about it, and he got the spark. Long story short, he ended up in L.A., and in Los Angeles, the Azusa Street Revival caught fire, and it's changed our last 120 years. And it's God's outpouring, one of God's great outpourings that we've experienced since the time of Christ, because people prayed. Daniel also said this in Daniel chapter 10. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. I wonder how often we've devoted ourselves to pray. Not 3 weeks in fasting and prayer, but just having our quiet time 3 weeks in a row without missing a day. We've got our bar a bit low, church. And I'm challenging us this morning. I am. I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging us. Let's ramp it up. Amen. Let's take our prayer lives to a different level. Not only our personal prayer lives, but our corporate prayer lives. Because that's where the release of God's power lies. I'll speak for myself right now. I find myself getting complaining and judgmental. I do. And then I look at myself in the mirror and say, you don't have a right to complain if you've not yet prayed. There's people who need Jesus that you know. How are they going to be saved? Get on your face before God and cry out for their salvation. There needs to be changes at your workplace. Get on your face before God and cry out for His Holy Spirit to work in mighty ways. How did Daniel get from a captive to the palace? Because he's a man of prayer and God used him in mighty ways. Church, let's be people of prayer. We're going to hear about this a lot as we move into the new year. God's been speaking to the elders. He's been speaking to the staff and the board. And we're going to devote ourselves in a new and a fresh way to prayer like never before. I want people's lives changed, don't you? It's going to come by prayer. I want our communities to change, don't you? It's going to come by prayer. And as we pray, then we can walk. But we can't walk without prayer. We're just another social club if we do that. But when we pray first, the power of God will go with us and there'll be changes that happen. The next three principles, I'll spend just a little bit of time with them because I know our time is short. But they're on the back of prayer. If we don't pray first, none of these three really matter that much. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. These next three are good. They're great. But you really can't accomplish them without first having a foundation of prayer. And Daniel was a man who lived a life of integrity. He lived a life of integrity. You can't have integrity without the power of God. You really can't. You're going to falter. You're going to get compromised. Things will happen. But when the power of God enters into your life through prayer, you'll find yourself standing firm. Integrity is the quality of a human being, or the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, having moral uprightness. Here's what I know. There are people who think they're living a life of integrity because they're living up to their own personal moral uprightness. There are people in this world who will strap on a vest of explosives, walk into the middle of innocent people, blow them up, thinking they're doing the righteous thing. It's a twisted world out there. To have true integrity is to base it on the truth of the Almighty God and walk in that way. So I'm not just talking about this random integrity that anybody, well, I'm integrous, I just have a different standard of integrity than you Christians do. No, we're talking about the standard that God has put before us. Daniel said this in chapter 1, verse 8. It said, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. What's going on here? Daniel said, I'm not going to cut corners. I'm not cutting corners. I'm honoring God in everything. No little, you know, black and white with a little bit of gray in the middle. A little bit of off-white. Sometimes it's easy to live off-white, isn't it? Instead of the white purity of God. And the king's palace, those guys said, this is good food. This is choice wine. This is choice meat. This is the nice stuff because we want you young men to grow up and to learn the ways of Babylon. And Daniel says, not doing it. Now, we assume it's because some of the things they were offering were not kosher. And that Daniel, because he used the word twice, defile. So they were asking him to eat things that the law of the Lord would not allow him to eat. He's not in Israel anymore. He's in Babylon. How many of us would have said, well, God, you know, come on. I mean, let's give me a break a little bit. I mean, I'm not home. This is not, does your law even work here in Babylon? Daniel says, it's not about where I live. It's about my commitment to God. And I'm not compromising. And of course, if you read the story, he took vegetables instead and water. And he was more healthy and was brighter and sharper than all the other ones. And they go, whoa, he's got some here. Give everybody vegetables. When God's people are obedient, everybody benefits, by the way. Everybody does, because God's presence is there. Later on, Daniel faced another opportunity to cut corners. The whole issue with the lion's den, when he was raised to a high level, and there were some jealous guys, and they said, we got to fix him, but we can't figure out how, because we can't find anything against him. So let's use his faith against him. And get the king to make a law that says you can't pray for 30 days. And here's the reference in Daniel 6. The king, they said the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. King Darius put the decree in writing. When Daniel learned about the decree, you gotta love Daniel. When Daniel learned about the decree not to pray, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem and prayed just like he did before. You gotta love that guy. I hear what you're saying, king, but I got another king and I'm answerable to him, not you. I'm praying. It was just for 30 days. How many would say, you know, come on, God, it's the lion's den, for goodness sake. You're gonna miss me for 30 days. It's just, I'll pray in my heart. I'll pray in my heart. So I'm really praying. No one else will know I'm praying. But God, you know, it's just our secret. Cool? Why not just not swing the windows open toward Israel? Why not just pray in the closet? Why not just pray that... Daniel said, no, I'm not cutting corners. I will live with integrity before my God. And let the consequences happen. You got to love Daniel. I'm not cutting corners. This is what I've always done. This is what I will always do. Let God handle the rest. I will be faithful. Don't you want to be like this guy? But how often do we compromise things and get worried? Because, oh, well, we can't do that. Or, oh, we can't do this. I hear a lot about, you know, oh, you can't say certain things because if somebody hears, you know, you might get in trouble. There's a guy in Texas, a pastor who was put in jail for a while. Literally, it happened a couple of years ago. He had preached a sermon that was a sermon against homosexual behavior. The transcript ended up in one of the governmental person's hands, and he served some time. What about if we said some things that disagreed with whoever out there and we lose our tax-exempt status? Ooh, can't do that. It'll affect our bottom line. So what? Who's got our bottom line? No cutting corners. Read church history and there are people who are willing to be burned at the stake rather than compromise their faith. I think we've gotten soft. I do. I think we've gotten soft. Oh, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that. Might get in trouble. Now, I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm not talking about being unkind. You know, Bill spoke about saying we can't speak the name of Jesus in these apartment complexes. There's a way to be wise and patient. We're not talking about being unwise. We got to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. So you get what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying, Bill, go in there and rip and tear, baby. You follow me, right? There's a way to be wise. But there's no cutting corners. And I know these people are not cutting corners. They're just being wise as serpents. Let's be people of integrity and not cut corners. We got to be people of prayer. We have to be people of integrity. Number three, fear God and you will fear no man. Oswald Chambers said this, "The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. And when you don't fear God, you fear everything else." How many know that to be true? I do. When you fear God, nothing scares you. Jesus said, "Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one who can cast your body into hell." We fear men so much because we fear God so little. Does God not have you in the palm of his hand? He does. Does God not have your future secured? He does. Does God not know the situations you're in? He does. He knows. Don't worry. Don't worry. Your Father is bigger. Your God is stronger. Trust him. When you are faithful, he will always have your back. Well, it doesn't mean it'll always be easy. Daniel did get thrown into the lion's den, but he came out. In this particular instance, and you know where I'm headed here, Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their Hebrew names. Nebuchadnezzar builds the statue, says everybody's going to worship this thing. And they go, "We're not." "Well, if you don't, you're going into the blazing furnace." "Well, sorry, king, we're not." And he got so mad, he said, "Heat that baby up 10 times. They heated it so hot that the soldiers that brought them to throw them in, they got killed. It was so hot. But here's what they say. Powerful words. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up." That's real faith. We know our God can save us, but it's not about him saving us. Because even if he doesn't, we're still going to be faithful. We're not bending. We're not cutting corners. The consequences, the outcome is not in our hands. We know he can. If he chooses to, he will. But if he doesn't, that's not our problem. We are not going to fear you. We fear one greater. That if we compromise and bow down, we're in the hands of a God that we don't want to trifle with. Amen. So we're willing to trifle with you, O king, and your fire. We'd rather endure that fire for a moment and escape eternal fire. But we're afraid of that more than we're afraid of you. So let it happen. And of course, you know the story. Such an awesome picture. What? I thought we threw three guys in there. There's four in there. And one of them looks like the Son of Man. Isn't it awesome when Jesus shows up? And when you're faithful and fear God more than anything else, Jesus will show up. Even when you're in the flames. Last, your goal is the long obedience. Your goal is the long obedience. It's not a short one. It's not day to day. Well, it is day to day, but your goal is to obey day to day, to live like Daniel and pray day to day, have integrity day to day, fear God day to day, like he did for the rest of your life. That's forever. It's not, I'm just going to go through a season of discipline, take a couple of weeks, a couple of months, kind of devote myself new to. No, it's every day for the rest of your life. Because we are Christians. That's who we are. That's what Daniel did. Isn't it fascinating to read that Daniel served in captivity? Whoops, that got ahead of me there. I guess I didn't put it in the notes. Sorry about that one. Daniel served under four pagan kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Four kings came and went while one man of God endured them all. That's a long obedience legacy. This king came, he died, Daniel's still there. Next king, he died, Daniel's still there. Next king. Here I am. Still being faithful, still praying, still not cutting corners, still fearing God. Billy Graham said this, "The Christian life is not a constant high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me or help me. It's not a constant high. It's being faithful every day. Speaking of Billy Graham, this man of God, he had a partner named Charles Templeton. He and Charles Templeton ministered together as young men, had covenants together to stay away from lustful things and compromising things, and they were partners. But Charles Templeton began to waver. He began to have some doubts. He began to struggle with his faith. And Charles Templeton parted ways. Paul, do you have those slides for me? Are they there? I'm not seeing them on my... If you put up that one. There's Charles Templeton and Billy Graham. And in 1995, Charles Templeton even wrote a book. Go to the next slide, please. 1995, title of the book, Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. They started out together. They started out side by side, shoulder to shoulder. But one person left the long road and abandoned the faith. Of course, Billy Graham is in the presence of God right now, living in glorious wonder in the presence of God. Charles Templeton, sadly, is reaping the consequences of his decisions. It's a sad tale. But all of us are faced with that same choice. Will we stay on the path? Will we stay devoted to prayer? Will we not cut corners? Will we fear God always? Or do we get lazy and tired and distracted and find ourselves maybe veering off the path? Well, praise God, we're still here, so we got an opportunity to get back on the path. We can repent today and get back on the path. In the book of the Revelation, it says this in chapter 2. It says, to them who overcome, to them I will give a white stone. It's bigger than this one, no doubt, but I have a white stone in my pocket. I carry it periodically. I'm going to start carrying it every day. So that on that white stone is written a name that only God the Father and the owner knows that name. It's a sweet, very sweet passage that God says, I don't want just to call a name and have all these people who happen to have the same name as you turn around and say, yes, Lord. There'll probably be a couple of million Gregs up there. He calls for me and there's a couple million that say yes, Lord, I'm not going to feel real personal. But he's going to give me a stone. And he's going to write a name on it and that he and I will know that name. But I only get it if I overcome. That's the key. To those who overcome. To those who last. To those who press through. And in Daniel chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, it says this. Again, the one who looked like a man, this is an angel, came and gave me strength. And he said, Daniel, do not be afraid. Get this. O man, highly esteemed. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. Don't you want God to name your name, the name that is on your white stone, and say, O man, highly esteemed. O woman, highly esteemed. I want that. I want God to write whatever name is on my stone, and I want beneath it to say, highly esteemed. Because I was a person who was devoted. He did not fear man. Did not cut corners. And Daniel, he got that name. I want that name too. Sean, if you would come, the worship team would come, and Patty and Shalene, if you would come. I want to give you an opportunity before we meet Jesus face to face, to respond. And maybe pick up your temporary white stone. These ladies have them. And every time you feel this, maybe you put it in your pocket. That every time you reach in your pocket or you happen to feel it in there, it'll remind you, I want to be like Daniel. I want to be devoted to prayer. I'm not going to cut corners. I'm going to have godly integrity. No matter what the pressure is, no matter what the consequences. That God, I'm going to fear you more than I fear anything else. because you are God. And I know I'm in this for the long haul. It's not just a momentary, quick deal. Until I die, I will serve you. And the moment I breathe my last, I will be in His presence. And He's going to say, hey, you got that stone in your pocket? Yes, Lord, here's mine. He says, let me give you a new one. Let me give you one with my writing on it. To those who overcome. So I'm going to pray a prayer as the worship band plays. And after that, I'm going to invite you to stand. And to those that want to start fresh, maybe you've battled a bit in your prayer life, and you can honestly say, I've struggled there, and I need to revive that. And the hunger for God. Like Daniel, he wept, and he sought, and he was passionate. I want a different kind of prayer life. I know I've been cutting a little few corners here and there, and I've not been honoring the God in everything. I want to stop that, and I want to renew. Maybe I've been a little fearful of man, feel worried about what others think, or what a boss thinks, or a significant person. I've got to stop that. I want to have God and God alone be the one I fear. And I'm in this for the long haul. As I pray, and you're thinking through those four principles, we'll stand and I'll ask you to come and you can take a stone. And remember it. And remember, it's for those who overcome. And on the days you feel weak, you can reach in and go, man, it's a hard day today. Oh, but God is my God and I can overcome. I can do this because He's my strength. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask You, Lord, to sweep over this place by Your Holy Spirit's presence and fill us, God, with that encouragement that if we will be people of prayer, we can see the world around us change. God, You said in James chapter 5, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person changes things. God, help us to not be victims of circumstance any longer, but to be those who change circumstances through prayer. God, let us be like thermostats, not thermometers. Thermostat sets the temperature, doesn't react to the temperature. We want to be Christians who set the temperature where we live and in our cities. And that we're not going to cut corners. God, forgive us when we've been fearful. God, forgive us, Lord, we've gotten tired and weary. Today we want to renew and restore, God, the passion for You, like Daniel. I praise You, Lord, what You're doing in our church. You've been stirring us for a few weeks now. It's been so awesome, God, and all the different things we've been able to participate in to serve our community. It's been awesome. And God, I feel so deeply and so powerfully that You're moving us in a direction that is going to change not only us, but the valley around us. God, help us to renew, to go deeper each day. I thank You, God, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for Daniel. Praise You, Jesus. Let's stand together. As the worship teams begin to sing this song, we can worship along. But if you want to step out, and if you're in the middle, just excuse yourself as you step around people. But come on up to one of these ladies. Take a stone. Keep it with you. Remind yourself, to Him who overcomes, let's be devoted like Daniel. Come as you sing.
Find us where there is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us.
Let's sing that again. Where there is no way.
Where there is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us where there is no way. Make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us
where there is no way. You make a way
when no one else can reach us. You find us where there is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us where there is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us where there is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us. There is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us where there is no way. You make a way when no one else can reach us. You find us, Jesus.
We sing
Jesus.
It's
always been you, Jesus.
It's
always is you,
Jesus.
It always will be.
As a symbol of our devotion for our King. And we want to live faithfully in an ungodly world. But because we're here, it can be a little less ungodly. Our workplaces can be a little less ungodly because there's a Daniel in the midst. Our homes can be a little less ungodly. There's a teenage Daniel in the home. Our neighborhoods can be a little less ungodly because there's a family of Daniels in that neighborhood. Our schools can be a little less ungodly because there's some teenage Daniels changing the atmosphere of that campus. On our colleges, wherever we are, God, we hold this stone as a reminder that we are your overcomers, not in our power, but by the grace of Jesus who shed his blood on the cross. Father, today we decide to devote ourselves to prayer, to live a life of integrity, to fear not man, but to fear you alone, and to do it until we die. We give you the glory today, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this morning. All glory is yours. In the precious, matchless name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. And everybody said,